7:33 here. It's Lance Zierlein and Del Ole, and we are going to take you up until 11 o'clock. Eric Layden will join us at 9 o'clock. Richard Justice coming up at 8 o'clock. Obviously, we'll talk baseball and Astros with him. Joining us right now from The Athletic is Dane Brugler as we get into some combine talk. The combine starts next week, and even though the Texans don't have a first-round pick for a few years or so, there's still lots to talk about. Dane, good morning. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Good morning, guys. Yeah, just trying to get ready for this combine coming up next week. Kind of switching up the schedule a little bit on us, but nonetheless, it's still going to be one of the most important events of the off season. Not only for draft purposes, but everybody's in Indianapolis next week. That's a time when a lot of people are starting to hash out free agent deals. Yep. And getting the conversation talking. So. A big week coming up next week.
Yeah, that's a big time for free agency. It is, everything's being done on prime time this year. For those who haven't heard, it has turned into a prime time event. I don't know if it warrants a prime time event, but it is one. And the draft has taken off, and a lot of people, I expected it, but a lot of people didn't expect it. I knew the combine would get bigger. This will be a real test to see if people are willing to tune in for a combine at prime time. But all that aside, I want to get to a basic question, and that is Tua versus it's Joe Burrow versus the Bengals is one, right? Let me address that one first. The idea that Joe Burrow has leverage, we've seen that twice that I can recall. We've seen it with John Elway way back in the day, and then in 2004 we saw it with Philip Rivers being drafted fourth and flip-flopped with Eli Manning. And my question for you, because Eli didn't want to play for the Chargers, do you see that as a legitimate? I mean, it's come out of his mouth. These are actual words that Joe Burrow has mentioned, even though he hasn't been super aggressive with it. Do you see that as a possibility that we could have that situation on our hands again, where Joe and his dad and his people push in that direction?
Well, I would say you can never say never, especially when you're talking about the Bengals. That's an organization that does their own thing. They march to the beat of their own drum. They kind of have their own way of doing things, especially when it comes to the draft and the way they evaluate. And, we'll have to go through the process. Joe seems like the type of guy that's going to, go through the process and meet with them multiple times. And if he does make a decision where he wants to kind of make that power play, you don't like to see it, because you want to see him go there and compete. And, it's an organization that needs a quarterback. It's not like there's a veteran in place and, there's going to be a question about playing time. And, Andy Dalton's not the future there. If they draft Joe Burrow number one, he's going to start the 2020 season opener. I would be surprised if we did see it. But at the same time, like I said, it's the Bengals. You can never rule anything out. And it doesn't happen very often. We saw it, two times that you mentioned. It's risky. Remember, in 2004, the Chargers drafted Manning number one overall without a deal in place. And, they thought there was a chance the trade might happen with Philip Rivers, with the Giants drafting Philip Rivers at four. But, it was never a certainty. So these things are delicate, and it'll just add another wrinkle to the draft process.
A lot of talk, at least after watching Joe Burrow throughout the year, was, at least, and I've heard it from Lance quite a bit, the system is important. Now, you probably could say that by about quite a few quarterbacks and really a lot of players, but are Tua's tools so at a point where the system matters so much less that if he was healthy, he would be the clear number one pick?
Not in my mind. Watching Joe Burrow this year, he's so smart, and his poise, his confidence, that really helps mask any of his deficiencies. He doesn't have that huge arm. There are times where he's throwing deep and his receivers have to wait for the ball to get there. He's not a perfect quarterback by any means, but it's the strength that he offers that help overwhelms any of the weaknesses that he has as well. And so, to me, that's why Joe Burrow is the top quarterback in this draft. Now, with that said, Tua is a fantastic prospect, durability and medicals aside. His twitchiness with the way, his hips, his body movements, the way the ball comes off his hand, and he's a very smart, cerebral quarterback. So there's plenty to like about both these guys. But the fact is, you can't ignore the medicals. And this is a guy who's had you know, procedures on both ankles and, of course, the hip. And, you know, I just mentioned how much of that power of his arm and that twitch that he generates from his hips. The medicals, and that's why the combine is the combine. That's why it exists. You know, in the 80s when they were trying to streamline this process, instead of having these guys travel all over the country to different teams before the draft, that, they said, okay, well, let's just create a central location for these medicals, and that's how the combine started. And then from there, they said, okay, well, they're all here. Let's do interviews. They're all here. Let's do some of these on-field drills and the positional drills and things like that. So the combine's really evolved from the medicals, and that's the most important step. And Tua is the perfect example of why it's important. And I'm not sure how much we're going to learn next week about Tua and the medicals. We might not know fully until the rechecks in April. But nonetheless, the medicals are going to be a big part of next week for Tua and a lot of other guys.
I think if Tua checks out okay, and he won't be able to work out until later. And the fact is, he's probably going to take a redshirt year this year. Mm-hmm. But I still think we're going to start hearing. It hasn't really started yet. Right now it's Joe versus the Bengals, and now it's gone from Tua to the Dolphins at 5 to maybe Tua at 3. I think at some point you're going to start to hear a narrative of Tua versus Joe Burrow. The further we get away from Joe's great season, and people start to say, and there's a contrary angle where you can, you know, it's kind of a contrarian situation, happens all the time. But when people start saying, let's look at the body of work of Tua versus body of work of Joe Burrow, I think you're going to have some people start to say, wait a minute, are we sure that Tua shouldn't be the number one quarterback? And we may have more of that. The big difference for me I'm always going to go back to is durability concerns with Tua now. It's hard for me to get away from that because leaving the pocket is a big part of who he is.
Right, 100%. And look, we go through this every year at this time in the draft process where there's going to be a lot of noise. And I'd even say Justin Herbert, we're going to hear his name being thrown into the mix. And especially with the Dolphins picking at number 5, we're going to hear how the Dolphins loved Justin Herbert because they have to put that out there just in case, you know, they struggle trying to move up. You know, say they want to move up to number 3 in the Lions to get Tua. Well, they're going to put out there that they love Herbert, so you try to get the Lions to think that, okay, well, maybe the Dolphins don't need to move up. They feel fine sitting there at 5, and maybe the asking price will go down just a little bit. Or, you know, maybe they're trying to fake out the Chargers at number 6, who could possibly move up from one of these quarterbacks. So, yeah, no question. We're going to hear about, you know, not only Joe Burrow and then also Tua, especially if he gets that clean bill of health, if the medical staff say, listen, the hip is healed perfectly fine. He's on pace to start throwing sometime here in the next few months. But then also Justin Herbert. These quarterbacks drive the conversation, and we've got a good group of quarterbacks this year, especially at the top.
Yeah, quickly, I know you're in Dallas. What are the thoughts with the Cowboys pick for all these Cowboy fans listening? Texans don't have a pick in the first. What are they looking at right now? What's going to be the situation with Amari Cooper, and how do you see them, you know, kind of approaching the 17th pick?
Free agency is going to be a big part. You know, Byron Jones is a free agent, going to be one of the top corners. You know, we know Dak Prescott's a free agent. He's not going anywhere, obviously. Amari Cooper, who you mentioned, what are they going to do there? And they've got a new coaching staff coming in. And that's one thing about the Cowboys front office, and, you know, yes, Jerry Jones, the GM, but Will McClay, he's pulling a lot of the strings behind the scenes, and they listen to their coaching staff with what they want and what they're looking for. And so there's a little bit of an unknown there with this new coaching staff, Mike McCarthy, and how they're going to, adapt to this defense and what they're going to do on offense. And, you know, could they add a receiver there if they don't get things worked out with Amari Cooper? Certainly possible. What about on defense? Could they? Maybe that's the first spot where a safety comes off the board. We know they've been looking for that position for the last few years. They need help on the defensive line. So an A.J. Epinesa, Javon Kinlaw, those are the names we're going to be hearing for the Cowboys. But like I said, there's a little bit of an uncertainty there with the new coaching staff and then all the free agent decisions, all the money they're going to have to distribute throughout this roster. They're going to have a lot of decisions to make. I think the best thing they could do, trade back, because I know every team wants to do that, but for the Cowboys, trade back, get more picks, because the more money they dish out to these free agent or to free agents to be, the more depth they're going to need at the back end of the roster. And the best way to do that is by gaining draft picks in a third, fourth round, filling out the rest of your roster for low prices.
We won't hear the Texans, at least, unless there's a trade. We won't hear about the Texans making a pick until day two, 57 pick overall. Plenty of issues on defense. I don't see a lot of playmakers on that side of the ball. Is there a second-round corner, if they so chose to go in that direction, that you see in that spot that they could look at?
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, Jeff Okudah from Ohio State, Texas native, he's going to be the first corner drafted somewhere in the top 10 picks, maybe the top five picks. And then there's a little bit of a gap before you get to that second tier. And it's a very large group, and it's a very muddled group. Depending on who you talk to, C.J. Henderson from Florida will be the next corner off the board. Or maybe it's Gladney from TCU. Some like Fulton from LSU. Cam Dantzler, your boy Lance from Mississippi State. There's a lot of corners in that second and third tiers that are going to come off the board in that late first and then into the second and then the late second. So I do think there will be names there. And I think of Bryce Hall from Virginia, who's kind of the forgotten corner in this conversation because he missed the second half of the year with an ankle injury. Led the nation in passes defense as a junior. A.J. Terrell from Clemson.
These are all guys with size. These are all fit the Texans' profile, too, because they're exactly. All size guys with some length.
Over 6 foot. Yeah, they fit exactly what they could be looking for. And so there's some interesting names there in that day two area. Stanford Samuels, and another guy that you're high on, Lance, could be a fit. So
yeah, but I'm finding out nobody else in the NFL is. Nobody else well, is. And I'm like, his tape isn't bad, and I talked to Daniel Jeremiah. He's like, I kind of like him, too. He goes, I can't find a team that likes him. I guess we're just wrong. Dell doesn't like him.
Do you remember the play against Miami when D. Wiggins beats him in the middle of play? He's looking back at the safety going, what's going
on?
Yes,
I screenshotted it and took him in the middle of the play. He wanted to make sure everybody knew
it
the safety.
It wasn't me.
It was the safety. So as the ball's in the air, he throws his hands up to say, hey, guys, this isn't supposed to be my – don't put this touchdown on me. But yeah, I do think this isn't a great year for pass rush. There are some guys like Daryl Taylor and Alton Robinson and Jabari Zuniga. I mean, you have some guys who have potential and upside who also have a little lower floors because they haven't really done it. So we got to break it here. I wish we could. It's just our podcast. We go on and on. But obviously, you and I will talk when we get into Indianapolis, and we'll jump into a little bit more. And I want to bring you on before the draft at different points to kick up some draft talk as well, Dane, if you're good with that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Anytime, man.
Awesome. That's Dane Brugler. You can follow Dane at Dane Brugler, and B-R-U-G-L-E-R. And great draft talk, great draft information. I'm sorry, it's D.P. Brugler. It's not Dane. D.P. Brugler, B-R-U-G-L-E-R. His stuff on The Athletic is fantastic. Make sure you check it out. When we